The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare my way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, and a leather belt was around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. Before I begin my sermon, I think I'll answer a couple of questions so that you won't be distracted during Mass. The candlesticks on the altar were borrowed from Holy Family Parish for the funeral that we had yesterday for Bridget Breckner. Since for a Tridentine Mass, you have to have 6 candlesticks. We don't have them. So we borrowed the 6 candlesticks from that parish, and they also gave us the 6 floor candlesticks to use for the casket. I have to return them tomorrow, but in the meantime, we're going to enjoy them. So that's why we have the lovely pieces on the altar today. The frontal that's hanging on the altar, though, is a gift that's been donated to the parish. Some months ago, I baptized a lady who was in her 70s, and she and some friends who were her godparents wanted to make a gift to the parish. And so they decided on this altar cloth, which we will use during Advent and Lent because it's purple in color. Now, we call this a frontal. And what it represents for us is the priesthood of Jesus. The altar in a church is the place of sacrifice. It's the place where Christ's sacrifice of himself on the cross is renewed. It's the act of his priesthood. And the ordained priest, who shares in the priesthood of Jesus, vests, as we do, in order to signify that relationship with Christ, priest, and king. And the colors, as you know, change according to the liturgical seasons and the nature of the feast day. So when parishes can do so, in addition to the priest's vestment, the tabernacle is meant to be veiled with the proper color, because that is the presence of Christ in the Eucharist remaining with us, Emmanuel, God with his people. The altar, because it's the place of the sacrifice, and you'll see in some churches that the lectern is also similarly veiled or has a hanging in front of it, because it is here that the living Word of God touches our souls. So we can be very grateful for these donors who gave this gift to us, because these are things that you're meant to know. You're meant to hear them once, like today. And then they're part of your subconscious, so that when you come into the church, your attitude, your disposition towards the tabernacle, the altar, the sacrifice, is already formed without it having to be repeated time and again. These express the sacredness and the mystery of what's accomplished here. Now, we can go to the sermon. In today's gospel, the church presents to us the figure of St. John the Baptist. St. John speaks to us every Advent and every Lent, because these are seasons of preparation. Advent prepares us for Christmas, Lent prepares us for Holy Week and Easter. Now, what is it that John the Baptist does? John the Baptist points out to us who Jesus is in an unmistakable way. That is his mission. It's a mission that was given to him before his conception, when the angel appeared to Zechariah in the temple. It's a mission that he began to accomplish even in the womb of his mother, when he leaped in Elizabeth's womb, when Mary came into her house and greeted her. And by the way, the word leaped can't just be translated as kick. In fact, the Hebrew word that's used and the Greek signify dancing, that the baby leaped into a dance step because he was expressing joy in the presence of Mary, the Ark of the Covenant, who was carrying Christ. Now, as today's gospel passage tells us from St. Mark, John fulfilled and completed and accomplished the prophecy of Isaiah, "I am sending my messenger ahead of you to prepare your way. He will cry out, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" Now, all of us know that St. John prepared for Christ's coming by baptizing people. But it's not enough to just know that. First of all, you have to know that what St. John did when he baptized at the Jordan River was not the sacrament of baptism that you have received. It was something quite different. St. John came from a family of Jewish priests. His father, Zechariah, served in the temple. That's where the announcement of John's conception was made to Zechariah. Now, as a result of that, John grew up knowing a great deal about the temple practices and the temple rituals. And one of the temple rituals was that before a priest could function in the temple, or before a member of the faithful, a Jewish man, came into the temple to offer sacrifice, he had to undergo a ritual bath, a ceremonial bathing while praying. And this is called a mikveh. And the mikveh is performed so that the person might not just be clean on the outside, presentable, but so that he might be interiorly purified and disposed in mind and heart to come into the presence of the Lord. This still is carried out daily by Orthodox Jewish men who gather together in groups to study the scriptures. Before they begin their studies, each of them has this ceremonial bath, and then begins the study and prayer. Now, in the time of St. John, the mikvahs were performed in buildings adjacent to the temple complex. What St. John was inspired to do was to take that ritual out of the temple and to perform it at the Jordan River. Now, why did he do that? Because the one who was coming, the one whom he was heralding, would be in himself temple of the Lord, high priest, and sacrifice. Jesus is the temple of the Lord because he is God made man, God the Son in human flesh. So now we don't have to go to Jerusalem or even to Rome to find the assurance that God dwells with his people. Every church, every chapel where there is the Blessed Sacrament, extends to us from heaven the sacramental presence of God in the flesh. So John has the people take this ceremonial bath, this baptism, in order to prepare them to encounter the living temple who will come among them. And this living temple of the Lord is also the new high priest who will give us a new form of worship and establish a new covenant in his body and blood by the sacrifice of himself on the cross. So Jesus is the fulfillment of temple and Torah, of the temple worship and of the teaching. He is the new covenant. And so John prepares his hearers to encounter Jesus, to meet him, to receive him, to welcome him, to accept him, and to enter into this new encounter with Almighty God. So every Advent and every Lent, we hear John's voice. We remember what he did so that we who know the whole story, who are familiar with everything, might not lose the truth, but deepen it. We're not meant to be familiar with the story of Christ. We're meant to know it and feel it profoundly. And that's why we have to remember these things. St. John will point Christ out to his disciples, handing them on to Jesus and saying, "There is the Lamb of God." Now, those words are not meant to tell us that Jesus is nice or gentle. They're meant to say, "There's the victim for the sacrifice. There's the offering to the Father. There is what will be lifted up as a holocaust for us and for our salvation." So we need to remember this in Advent so that we know the one whose birth we're going to celebrate, and so that we look at him not with fear, but with awe. With awe. And wonder, and amazement, and reverence. That's why this is important. And the opening prayer tells us that as we rush towards Christ, and so we should, we need to be aware of the impediments and the stumbling blocks around us so that we can avoid them. And we can only avoid them with the roadmap, which is Christ himself. "I am the way. Follow me." So the more we know, the safer we are, and the holier we become. So in this Mass, we turn to St. John and look at him more closely and realize that what he did had a deep meaning. It was not simply that he offered his message to everybody, that he was welcoming or inclusive. That was an important dimension of St. John's prophetic role. But he understood something deep, profound. He may not have known all of it at the beginning of his ministry. In fact, the Gospels make it clear that though St. John had these initial inspirations and convictions, he had to wait until Jesus unfolded through his preaching his own self-disclosure. And then John could be at peace about everything. And we can be at peace about everything too. So that in the midst of our rushing about in Advent, we don't simply count down the shopping days, but we look forward to the celebration of Christ's birth because it is the day, so to speak, of our deliverance. It is the day of the Messiah's coming. It is the birth of my deliverer, my redeemer, and yours. And that is the reason that we celebrate. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.